B-Pod Studios.
Greg Bedard joins Felger and Maz every Tuesday at 2 during Patriot season. Now, back to Toucher and Rich, a 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Rajiv to lead his second return for a touchdown this season.
Oh, we have a fight on the other side.
He tipped that gold chain and ripped it off his neck.
Oh, that's my dog, man.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen.
Watch the show on Twitch as we are Toucher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Go to twitch.tv, search 98.5 The Sports Hub, and you can watch us. Get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. People are always very confused. How do you hear your show in rehab? How do you hear your show? I said rehab people. You know, I have only talked to two people from rehab since I've been out. They got out later than me, but only two have contacted me, including my roommate has not contacted me, either of my roommates.
Why? I wonder why that is.
I don't know. Do you think that they didn't like me?
You went through something tough together. I figured, you know.
You become very close. I will tell you that.
Right.
So you become very close.
I can see that. That's very odd. They would not have contacted you.
Aqib Talib, you have never been to rehab.
sports rehab. I don't know about like a alcohol drug rehab.
Yeah, I was in alcohol drug rehab.
I've definitely been. Okay.
I'm just out, so I'm on that pink cloud, just about to crash. You know what I'm saying?
Undo it.
They call it the pink cloud. You feel all good about yourself, and then all of a sudden life catches up to you, and you're right back at it. By the way, may I say this, and this is they're going to appreciate this. Aqib Talib is brought to you by DN Van Lines, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Aqib Talib again. You have never been to rehab. Congratulations.
Thank you. I don't plan on going either.
All right. Well, listen, I don't want to dissuade you or anything. I don't know about your practices. How dare you even assume. All right. So the NFL is pretty crazy right now, and the Patriots aren't practicing as of today. They're doing things virtually. How much does that matter in reality? If you're a professional, if you're a veteran, and the team is not meeting face to face, are we overestimating how much that might matter?
We not, man. It definitely matters. That's why everything we do in the classroom, you do first second down on Wednesday. You do it in the classroom. You go outside. You walk through it. You come back in the classroom, and then you go outside and you practice it full speed. So you actually practice your game plan for the week. So I mean, it's one thing to know it on paper. It's one thing to see it with the live bullets, you know, moving bodies and moving parts and motions. So I'm just speaking from a defensive perspective.
Right.
It definitely affects us.
What would you do? How would you handle it if you were – would there be pressure to get a bunch of guys together and go out kind of on the sly and try to get some work in?
Nah, I wouldn't think that. I'm more nervous. I'd be more nervous about catching COVID than mastering this game plan right now. I master it on paper, and then I go out in the game and we get it together. But if I was part of the team or part of any team, and they were just like, yeah, we're gonna go to the local high school and get some work, I wouldn't be with it. I wouldn't be there.
So let's, you know, that's interesting to me, because what if you were one of the Patriots this past Monday, where you knew that your quarterback, and you know, obviously so many people are around the starting quarterback, you knew that he had tested positive, but they still wanted you to go on a plane and travel. There was one plane for the sick people, and then there's one plane, or not sick people, the people who had contact with Cam, and one for the other one. What would you say if they said, all right, you're going to go on this plane that of all the people who had contact with Cam Newton?
I mean, that's what I signed up for. I mean, you had a chance to opt out before the season. We had a date. Opt out by this date, you won't be penalized at all. Your contract will be, you know, still in full effect starting next year. So if I would have chose to come to work, then that's the same thing as, you know, coming to work every day. I'm coming to work with these guys. I'm in contact with these guys every day. So long as the people in charge had that in place, I'd be with getting on the plane. I'm going to work.
Do you think that the guys that opted out are kind of regretting it now?
I mean, they opted out. With the reason being they didn't want to be involved with COVID. You know what I'm saying? So, and COVID is upon us now. So I don't think they, I think they like, see, that's why I ain't go to work. I think they just, you know, proving their point why they at home. That's why they didn't go to work, because this was going to happen.
Yeah, but you're losing a year of your career. I know the guys that opted out for the most part have got the pension, but you've, you know, how hard is it going to be for those guys to come back after a year off? You know, a veteran. Tough. Yeah.
It's tough. It's going to be tough. You take that year off, man, your body just adjusts to, you know, nothing full speed. So I don't know if you're going to come back the same person. You can try to simulate your weights and your training and stuff, but, man, it's hard to simulate that game speed. So, like you said, every year, you lose a step every year. And it might not be a major step. It might be a half, a quarter of a step, but you lose a step every year. So, like you said, you're wasting a year of your career. And some of those guys is in year 7, year 8. So, yeah. I mean, them prime time years, man. I say my prime time years was 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Them years right there. So, if you're wasting one of those years, man, you're wasting a prime time year for yourself.
Yeah, I just see C.J. Mosley, and you're coming off an injury that costed you a season, you know, for the Jets, and you're the highest paid interior linebacker of all time. You sacrifice a year of that deal, and then you're coming back, and you know the NFL screws you as a player because nothing's really guaranteed. And, you know, who's to say C.J. Mosley plays another down in the NFL?
Exactly. I think he might have some more guaranteed money left in his deal. He ain't signed it too far. He ain't been there that long, have he?
It's second year, but yeah. I mean, he got his guaranteed money. Yeah.
So I mean, all right, yeah, you're right, though, man. You're right. You never know. You never know. If you come back and you 12 pounds overweight and you look a little slower, maybe, you know what I'm saying, the contract don't say they got to keep you. So you'll still be on the team when the new league year starts. And if you're not looking the same, I guess the team got the right to do what they want, right?
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's the risk that you're taking, man. That's the risk that you're taking when you opt out.
Well, it's weird, too, because, I mean, you know, with all the strange stuff that's happening this season, and Fred mentioned, you know, the lack of preparation, but you've got a situation with the Titans right now where if everything goes well, like if the next 2 days, which I think is what you need to open back up the facility of negative tests, that means the earliest they'd be back is on Saturday. So they would have 1 day after being gone for almost 2 full weeks to practice for an NFL football game. Is that even possible?
Man, like I said, it's you cramming at that point. You're going to get there, they're going to walk through, and you're not doing it live. You're not getting a full speed look. So I think they'll just make the game plan super, super easy. It won't be a lot of adjustments. They'll play basic coverages, and they'll just try to let those guys play fast. And I mean, they is healthy right now. You ain't did nothing in 2 weeks, so they're ready to fly around, man. I would just make the game plan easy for those guys and let them fly around.
Okay, so you have played for coaches with completely different personalities. There's, you know, Bill Belichick, and we're obviously very familiar with the way he runs things, not as a player, but just from the outside looking in. And then there's Sean McVay, and he's kind of Mr. Energy, jumping all around. He seems like almost like a cheerleader, almost Pete Carroll-esque when you look at that. Right, little guy.
Cute little boy. I just want to smack him.
When you compare those two guys and the way that they coach, what stands out the most is the biggest difference between those two?
See, everybody asks the biggest difference between those two. And I just say one is offensive-minded, one is defensive-minded, but the way that they run the program, the way that they run the team, the attention to detail, they so much alike, in my opinion, man. They super similar. They worry about football alone. You don't hear them starting team meetings with guys. We got to park on this, or guys, don't wear this in the building, or guys, leave your phones, or you don't really hear those guys talk about the BS. You know what I'm saying? Every time they got the attention of the crowd, it's football. You know what I'm saying? And then you'll be surprised on how many team meetings I sat through, and it was all about not wearing hats in the building or taking your phones to here, or like just the BS, right? And then it probably was the sorry teams I was on because the coach was worried about everything but football. You know what I'm saying? But Sean McVay, Bill, man, they're so focused on the task at hand. they super similar, man. So the biggest difference to me is just an offensive mind and a defensive mind.
So what's the biggest tell that when you walk into a room that you immediately know this guy's not a good coach?
when you start a team meeting, a good coach has everybody's attention. You can hear a pin drop in there. You can look around. You see everybody's eyes up on the coach. Now, if it's a coach, if you look around, you start the team meeting, and it's just still a couple of rumbles and mumbles, and you look around and you see a guy sending that last text, and you see a guy writing, and you see he just don't have the attention of the room. That's a sign right there for me that the leadership is not really there. He's not the best leader because he can't even get the attention of his room.
So that was the Vance Joseph year in Denver?
Yes. Hey, man. Hey. Yes. I'm going to be honest with you. Yes. Vance just didn't get the attention of the room, man. He didn't have them team meetings that you hear rumbles, man. You see guys looking around laughing. I mean, because Vance did this little throat clearing thing, man. It was like, he was talking and it was like, man, look. Hey, you catch guys on the wrong day, man. There's going to be so many laughs in the crowd. And, man, he didn't have the attention of the room.
Did you count him? Did you count how many times you would clear his throat? Because I've done that when people were talking.
I'm sure we did. I promise you. I'm sure Shane Ray or Vaughn or somebody counted them before.
Yeah, that's the worst when someone's got a tick like that.
And you're probably looking at each other like, oh, no, we're doomed with this guy.
Every time he do it, me and Vaughn look at each other. Every time he do it.
But you had Gruden. That had to be entertaining.
Now, that's another great leader, man. He had the attention of the room. He stood in front of the room. He had full attention of the room, full command of everything he was doing. So, and I was a rookie then, so, you know, I wasn't used to that. I came in the room, and he came in, he started talking, and it was like, oh, I was locked in looking at him like, you know what I'm saying? So that was a sign for me that, man, yeah, this real. That was a great coach to start my NFL career with, man, because I got a great idea of what the NFL is going to be like playing for Gruden.
He give you one of those goofy nicknames that he gives everybody that plays for him?
Nah. I would just keep.
Teeb, you're all right. Teeb, just show up.
Yeah. Talib or Keeb. That's one of them. Talib. Either or.
I could eat you for breakfast.
He's an interesting fella.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my dog, man. You got to sit through one of them team meetings. You got to sit through one of them team meetings, man. You got the best team meetings in the NFL.
Was he funny?
Knock if you hear me.
Did he make you knock wood like he did all those?
Yeah, he got the knock if you hear me. That's how he kind of just keep that attention. You know what I'm saying? That's how he keep your attention. He had you do something, boom, 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 boom. You right back to the speech. So, and it's just his slides and stuff, man. Everything that he's saying to you, he almost back it up with slides. You know what I'm saying? So, I love his team meetings.
Did he bring in like famous people? Because that's something he's been up to lately.
You know, Gruden. I played for Gruden for 1 year, and it was 13 years ago. So I can remember some stuff, guys, but I can't remember if he brought.
I thought if he brought in like a John Bon Jovi or something, you'd be very excited.
Yeah. I can't remember though. I can't remember any guests from when I was there. I mean, yes, he did. Man, we had Tiger Woods came to training camp with us. I'm tripping, man. I got pictures with Tiger Woods, man. So, yeah, that's the biggest guest that he brought down, man. He brought Tiger Woods to training camp one time in Orlando my rookie year. So, yeah.
Now, did you ever – okay, speaking of John Gruden, did you ever get pissed when you found out that – not just John Gruden, but anyone on TV, when they're doing the play-by-play or color commentary, did you ever get truly pissed at what somebody said about you while calling your game?
I did. You know, I watch. That's what I do. I play the game, right? And then I kind of have an idea how I play, right? So then I come home with my friends, my homies and stuff, my brothers, you know what I'm saying? I come home, I immediately put the TV copy on, boom, turn the volume up. Let me see what my fans saw today. You know what I'm saying? So I want to hear what they saw, hear what the people were saying about me. And there's been times where I was like, bro, that's not my job. Like, he's saying that's on me. He's completely wrong on TV. I remember one time Phil Simms did it. Me and TJ Ward. We had a cover four play. We were switching off the post and the corner post, right? We switched it off. I went with the corner. Look, TJ as running with the corner with me, right? The post running wide open. Phillip Rivers throws the touchdown. And Phil Simms killed me on TV. I mean, he's aggressive. He likes to jump plays. This time it bit him in the butt, and it wasn't my fault at all. So the next time I seen Phil, it was before a game. You know, the announcers, they come do, the interviews before the game, right. You know. So Phil and the gang, they walked up. We walking through. But I stopped practice right there. Phil, you killed me out on TV. It wasn't even my damn fault, Phil. It was TJ's fault. TJ right here next to me. TJ like, it was my fault, Phil. I got on his ass right there. I got on Phil's ass right there at the walkthrough the day before the game at practice, man. So, yeah, it's definitely been times, man, where I watch the game and I'm like, hell no, nah, man. That wasn't me or whatever. Yeah, I got pissed off before, definitely.
That's all right. Everyone hates Phil Simms, so just get in line.
Yeah, I'm kind of unaware of anything he's ever said. Wait, you like him?
Yeah, that's my dog. I did too many production meetings with him not to like him.
Is there anyone that you couldn't stand in any of the markets that you worked in, or anyone on national television that it just got to the point where it wasn't funny anymore?
Nah, I ain't that kind of dude. I don't really hate people for them doing their job and things like that. So, man, they doing their job, man. They got to make it entertaining. If I ever end up in that booth, I might say something somebody don't like. But, well, I'm just trying to, earn a check. I'm trying to earn a Tony Romo check out here, man. I got to be a little controversial, right?
Well, you're better than Tony Romo. Because I don't care about any of them, but Tony Romo drives me insane.
Ugh. Tony Romo pretty good at it. I like what Tony do, man. He keep it entertaining for me.
He reminds me of talking to my mom. Like, he's like, I don't know if I should say it. Shut up. Say it. Just say it. Or don't say anything. Is my opinion on him. All right. Well, Aqib Talib, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much for calling in this morning. And we look forward to talking to you next week.
Next week, man. Appreciate it. See y'all next week.
I'll be sure to start the interview with a nice...
You can count them. All right. Thank you, Aqib.
See you, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. We appreciate it.
John, good call on the Vance Joseph. Yeah. I forgot that he was there for the Vance Joseph experiment.
Well, Vance was having the time of his life. Yep. That's
having right. the time of his life.
That's right.
Rohit. What was that guy's name again?
Sergio Dip.
Oh, that's right. Sergio Dip.
And he was never heard from again. They never had him back.
It's nope. Vance Joseph. And he is what?
Having the time of his life.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That guy was great.
That was the Monday night game. That was a Beth Mowins, I guess. Was and the then first female play-by-play. And Rex Ryan was there, too.
And then everyone
Sergio.
Everyone rightfully made fun of Sergio. And yep. then it turned around that everyone was so evil for making fun of him.
Well, no, he recorded some video like 2 days later from his hotel room going, I just tried my best, and that's all that
and
I can do.
And then he turned around and started saying, I'm having the time of my life, every tweet. He tried to make it his own, which made him look even worse.
Well, Fred, if you remember, it was...
Through the end zone and out to the 25-yard line for the Chargers, and here's Sergio Dip.
Beth, Coach, it's a pleasure to be with you guys here on the field from up close, just watching Coach Vance Joseph from here. You watch him now on the screen. This diversity in his background is helping him a lot tonight. Quarterback at Colorado, defensive back in the NFL, and here he is having the time of his life this night, making his head coaching debut.
Back to you guys. That's the first thing I thought of. Back to you guys.
I mean, there's no question. That's what I you're immediately thinking.
Back to you guys.
Yeah, that's right.
Well.
Yeah, that was, and then people made fun of him, and then it became this whole thing that, like, oh, you can't make fun of him.
I remember after he did that, I think ESPN went to him once after that, or never again.
No, that never again.
I think that was the only time they sent it down to him the entire day.
Yeah, because he sucked.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
He was not good at what he did.
Nope.
By the way, there was a guy from Tampa Bay who they have a still shot of the Tampa Bay Rays that was looking at the camera, and I phased out of the interview for a second because I had to look up. He looks exactly like Bernard Gilkey. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I had to look up.
Whoa, there's a Cardinals reference, ladies and gentlemen.
Bernard Gilkey, my friend.
Wow. Only you and I know who that is.
21.64.
No idea.
Only you and I, Fred, know who that is. That's impressive.
A career 21.6 WAR.
How about that?
You could have gone to battle with Bernard Gilkey.
He's an outfielder, former Cardinal.
Left fielder.
Yep.
See, oh,
Rich,
there he is.
See, Rich, you learned something today.
I'm clicking on this right here. It looks like he was a star of the 80s.
Yeah, well, 90s. But I looked at Bernard. I looked at the guy. I'm like, Bernard Gilkey still plays? And then I had to look. I got nervous. All right, so we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins, the Celtics, and these guys. Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh boy!
This, by the way, I'm reading something that's just. You want to talk about chaos. So I got to find this tweet, by the way, because it just happened to be from Chris Mortensen, who put out a doozy yesterday. But real quick, before you get to that, because I do want to talk about that. I guess Torrey Smith ended up tweeting out that the Titans should have to take a loss and play next week because of their irresponsible actions. And so Ed Werder put a lot of sentiment in this league, and then Chris Mortensen retweeted it and put, then the Bills players would not be paid a game check under revised COVID-19 terms. It's a hot-button topic players are discussing amongst each other. Roster sizes, game day activities, IR modifications, and COVID-19 designations were among conditions put in place to avoid this scenario. So hang on. Hang on a minute. So if you're telling me that if the Bills-Titans game is canceled because of the Titans' carelessness, that the Bills don't get paid?
Game wasn't played.
That is insanity. Do you know how BS I would be if you're a member of the Bills? You lose, as you said, Fred, some of these guys are playing right now. I mean, you know football players. The shelf life is not very big, so every game means a lot. You're telling me that if you followed the rules and your team did absolutely everything right that you were asked to do, and the other team that you're supposed to play is filled with jackassery and screws it up for everyone, that you're going to lose a paycheck? That is utterly insane that they would do that.
They're going to do everything they can to play that game. The NFL is going to push to play that game. It has not been canceled yet, and I wouldn't look for any word. Oh, but you have a finger up, John.
I do. I do. This from ESPN's Diana Rossini. She just tweeted this out a couple of minutes ago. She says she's told by Titans and Bills players they've been told there's an option of playing their Sunday game Monday or Tuesday in Nashville. And if that happens, the Chiefs-Bills game, which is scheduled for Thursday night, would be moved to Saturday. Nothing set in stone, but that's one of the options on the table.
Ah.
So you'd move that Thursday night football game back, and there'd be no Thursday night football.
Correct, yes. But that would still put the Titans on an extreme... That would still put Buffalo on an extreme
FM.
Short week.
Buffalo. Buffalo. Yeah, but not as
Buffalo
short.
Would play Monday or Tuesday, and then again on Saturday.
Some Saturday NFL wouldn't suck. I have no problem with that.
I think it'd be great, but I'm just saying, in this COVID world, I understand everything. You just take it as it comes, but Buffalo, who had nothing whatsoever to do with any of this, would get screwed. On a really short week.
They don't get screwed. It's the same difference.
Play Tuesday and Saturday?
They'd have a nice long weekend. If they're done Thursday, they'd have a long weekend. I mean, that's the only difference. But it does make sense. It's at least it's somewhat fair for the Bills. You know what I mean? It's like it's not, you know, they're not moving the game to like Monday and then they have to play on Thursday. At least that's something that's doable. You can do that. And Saturday football. So that seems to be a pretty decent compromise if that's the way it ends up going.
Even though the NFL tries its hardest not to conflict with college football, but I'll tell you, these Big Ten teams, this Michigan State team is all in. It's funny. They're going. They're playing. It's happening.
Mm-hmm. So, the season starts what? 2 weeks? 2 weeks? 2 weeks.
I think 2 weeks. Yeah,
I thought the Pac-10 starts at the end of the month, and the Big Ten starts 1 week earlier.
Ooh, interesting.
I thought the Pac-12 is back too.
Well, the Pac-12,
and they're playing like a 7 or 8 game schedule.
Let me see. I can look that up for you right now.
Okay.
You want to know when the Akron Zips play?
Sure.
Would you like to know?
Love the Zips.
They're a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They recruited from the Detroit Country Day. I can tell you right now, Michigan State football starts home game Rutgers Saturday, October 24th.
2 weeks from this week. 2 weeks from Saturday.
And they are at Michigan.
Okay.
Who is ranked number 20 preseason, even though everyone hates Jim Harbaugh. They will take the field on Halloween.
Pretty much universal.
At a to-be-determined time on Halloween, where your kid is not even trick-or-treating.
One of them is not.
Sucked the youth out of him.
The
son will not be trick-or-treating, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe it? 617-779-0985. A boy of what age?
11.
11 years old. It will not hit the pavement door-to-door. A fifth grader.
Mm-hmm.
Young for or old for fifth grade.
Mm-hmm. Summer birthday.
Yeah. Old for fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get him into, one of these hockey kids that graduates high school at 22.
It's a redshirt thing. You know, he'll be better athletically for his age.
Yeah, you read the Gladwell book. You're all over that.
Right. Kids don't wind up resenting their parents at all after that.
No.
So
you read The Great Santini? It's the way you go.
Wait, you cry? You squirt a little? You cry?
Yeah, you dribble the basketball off their head.
Basketball in the driveway, kid. That's how we do it.
Yeah, but that's it at the Wallach house. There's no time for fun and games. The kid doesn't even want to go trick-or-treat. Now, the other one, they're twins, so the other one will not trick-or-treat.
One is all in. He's very excited to do it this year. The other one, I had to almost beg him to go last year. For whatever reason, he just isn't interested in doing it. I said, you get a free bag of candy that I'm going to allow you to eat. How would you not want that? And he just didn't want to go. Mm. And this year, I'm not even arguing with him.
Mm. Well, even though you've turned your back on Judaism, will they at least try to find the guilt?
The guilt?
The
coins in the mesh bag?
And the guilt.
The guilt has already been filed. That's right from the get-go.
They have to visit your parents. But will they go after the guilt? Will that happen?
Yeah, I think so. Sure.
Do you hide the guilt?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Just randomly?
Just randomly.
Did you celebrate Purim?
No.
You know, that's a fun one.
I'm aware.
You're allowed to get drunk.
I have not.
You're supposed to get drunk on Purim.
I have not.
It's a celebration. It's an early Halloween.
Mm-hmm. I have not.
Your friends from Camp Young Judea?
The losing streak continues. What's that?
Have your friends from Camp Young Judea stepped in and said anything about this?
They have not. No.
You know, some camps opened.
Yes. I do know that. But I don't know if YJ is open or not this year.
Camp was a good thing. I have a question for you, and this is, and I'm being serious, because I've been listening to things in psychiatrists and things floating this around. How much did camp mean to you? Do you think that it was an incredible experience for you, in all seriousness?
3 years, I went to camp for 3 years, 1 month each time. I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Right.
I thought
okay,
it was great.
So it meant a lot to you.
Yeah.
If COVID remained as it is now and camps were open, would you send your kids to camp? Do you think, this is a question that I've been hearing a lot of discussion about. Do you think, based on your situation that you're in, where there's no one around you that's, compromised,
mm-hmm.
would you send your kids to camp? Do you think the value of that experience outweighs the COVID?
No, I would not send my kids to camp.
See, I think the benefit of it outweighs the risk of getting the COVID.
I think there is a tremendous benefit, but in a COVID world, I would not send my kids to summer
so
camp.
So what they call that is the acute versus the chronic. So the acute threat is getting COVID.
Mm-hmm.
The chronic effect is not having that experience and how that would affect you later in life, that mm-hmm. you're not getting that experience. Mm-hmm. And that is something every parent and every individual has to weigh.
True. My wife never went to summer camp, so
I never went to summer camp either. I grew up Methodist.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I was Methodist is because my parents were Catholic and the Methodist church was right next door to us.
I see.
So that's why we were Methodist. But you have to weigh that as a parent. You have to weigh that.
Mm-hmm.
It is the acute versus the chronic is what they're calling it in psychiatry. So that is what times we live in. What times? What weight is on our shoulders as a populace? All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
Well, when scammers knock on the wrong door, we're getting an ass load of Marvel movies all at once, and a fast food place has announced what could be the single greatest new menu item invention that I've heard in a long time.
Well, if it's Burger King, I pass it, so we'll have to see what's going on. We'll have that for you here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
For the headline.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
.985 the Sports Hub. Old Moneybags McGee over here has got the sponsor.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Fred, buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing, rather, for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
Do you remember when this happened 9 days ago, yet it seems like 10 years ago?
That was a hot mess inside a dumpster fire, inside a train wreck. It was a disgrace. Because that was horrific.
All right. So if you watched the debate last night, it was fairly boring, except for a fly landing on Mike Pence's head for 2 full minutes.
If you loved evading questions and turning off the television, then you got both candidates last night to refusing to answer questions. And it was this. I'm not playing both sides, because I told you Trump effed up the first one. And anyone who says different is just stupid. This, I'm not playing both sides. Both candidates, without much finesse, both evaded everything until I turned it off. But that I did see the fly. I did see the fly.
But this morning, the Commission on Presidential Debates, now that is a bipartisan commission that decides how the debates are going to be run, they announced this morning that the second debate, the one that was to be next week, a town hall one, you know, where you have the people ask the questions, the undecided voters, which if you're undecided by now, what are you doing?
That one's undecided.
So the quote-unquote undecided voters were going to be asking the questions. It was announced this morning that it was going to be a virtual debate. And that is according to the commission said that they spoke with people at the Cleveland Clinic. And they believed because right now there is a candidate who is being treated for COVID, that was the wise way to go. Well, guess who does not want to do that? Donald Trump. He said, no way I'm doing a virtual debate. I'm not going to waste my time on a virtual debate. He complained during an interview with Fox earlier this morning that it would mean he would have to, quote, sit behind a computer and that the moderator would be able to, quote, cut you off whenever they want.
Therein lies the problem.
according to Bill Stepien, which is Trump's campaign manager, who also has COVID right now, he said that they're going to not show up to the debate and that the president will hold a rally instead.
Well, that's
I'm not making any of this up.
Well, that's going to sway some undecided voters.
That's true. None of this really matters.
No, it's
none of it does.
So you're playing to your base.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna rally the people that are already going to vote for you. Right. All right, great. Yeah, I thought the debate was to get the undecideds or somebody on your side.
Well, I think that goes to show that there is really nobody who's undecided.
That's very true.
I mean, having a rally instead is not going to make someone go, oh, oh, yeah, he's the, you know, the guy who's having the rally. I mean, I think that that's going to be, it's going to be a virtual rally and an in-person rally. And they'll both be on TV for you to ignore.
But those poor undecided voters who are going to be there, how are they going to end up figuring out who they're going to vote for?
Well, if I'm Biden, I'm not doing it, because why would I do anything that I could make a mistake and you know, give anyone a snippet of 20-second snippet of me saying something dumb? So I'm not doing it.
That's a good point. If the numbers are to be trusted, it's just don't screw it up.
No, what I'm saying is that I wouldn't show up at as an act of valor or whatever the hell you would call it, and be like, you know, oh well, I'm the better man and I showed up for this. No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do any of that. I would just not have it happen, apparently.
You ever, had anyone knock on your door looking to sell something and you were kind of unsure of how they left? Or
It like looks when bums, when I lived in Brighton, and bums would come on Halloween and you would be like, oh, do I have to give the bums candy? That was a big thing. Like, ah, do I have to answer
this? Somebody who was dressed, you know, different. You're sure that they were there? Had you seen them in your neighborhood before or something?
There was, I mean, they were adults. Well into their late 20s or 30s or 40s.
14-year-olds nowadays look like they're about 30, so.
Well, they were dressed as bums then. Old bums. But, yes, they came to my door, and I had the but I did end up giving them candy, so I guess there's one way ticket to heaven for me.
I would say that's a good thing. But apparently in Covina, California, there were two guys who were going door-to-door claiming that they're raising money for the Covina High School football team. Talk about two guys who look like they're 30. The only problem was they happened to knock on the door of the Covina High School football team's coach.
He doesn't mess around. He's a badass. Have you ever had him for shop?
No.
He hits kids. I haven't seen it, but I heard he hit Billy Squire.
Well, Billy listen, he did get angry at me when instead of trying to make my little drawer I was going to do, I made a wooden bong in wood shop. So I guess that was...
That's not practical.
Totally on me. So here is a... now, the reason we have this is because it was all done on a Ring camera. He has one of those Ring things that records the audio. And here's how the back and forth went with these two kids. Kids. I mean, they said they're kids. They do look like they're about 30. And the voice that you hear on the other side is the high school football coach.
Evening, sir. How's your day going?
It's all right. Hey, man, I'm sorry. I'm in the middle of I'm not going to be able to come out, but you guys have a good day.
But you have a package right here, sir.
Do I?
You have an Amazon package. Well, me and my partner, Aiden, we're fundraising for Covina High School football. And we're working really hard, sir.
Yeah, actually, that's funny you bring that up, because I know for a fact you guys don't go to Covina because I teach there.
Huh?
I know for a fact you're not working with Covina High School.
But I play running back position, sir.
I'm a football coach there at Covina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's your name, sir?
What's your name?
Marcos.
What's the head football coach's name?
Hernandez?
No. I think you guys need to leave the area.
All right, thanks. Yeah, good day.
The kids go running to the football coach, and they end up taking off after that.
Yeah, the guy. I like the challenging the guy at the door. The kids that are trying to get the money, that they're challenging the guy. Like,
yeah, well,
maybe you cut and run at that point. Maybe,
yeah. Like if this dude's getting all up in my face and stuff, I don't want to deal with that. Well, he can have a gun back
even
there.
Even if you're breaking the law. So like, even screw what he's going to do to me. Just the feigning, even if someone feigns to know about the football team, I think it's time to go to another neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something I want to challenge and have the guy get a good look at me. I got the ring, but I also have a no soliciting sign, so I think I'm in the clear of any of this kind of stuff.
Well, if I'm trying to think back to what was the last great fast food menu item that had been released. Now, the Doritos Locos Taco obviously made quite the splash. I contend that the Doritos Locos Taco is one of the best first bites of any fast food item and one of the worst third bites.
It's just like Doritos are... It just seemed unnecessary to me.
And yes.
Therefore, I did not eat it.
But it sounds like Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins might have come up with a game changer. Now, it's only being experimented right now in Chicago, but if it's a success, they're going to move it countrywide, and that creation is Munchkin Milkshakes. A milkshake made with Baskin Robbins ice cream in which they mash Dunkin' Donuts or Dunkin' Munchkins inside the middle of it.
I'm in.
Oh, my God, I will take it.
I'm in.
I like that.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's brilliant. So they're starting off now with this pumpkin cheesecake one where they're doing the pumpkin munchkins, which are phenomenal, and like this cheesecake ice cream. I say don't even bastardize it. Just give me vanilla. Like I want it almost Blizzard style, like Dairy Queen. And get me those unbelievable chocolate munchkins and throw them suckers in there. Oh, can you think of anything better when you've been out all night and like it's like it's like 2 or 3 in the morning and you haven't fielded, you're just like, I gotta get something. I gotta need a nightcap. And you go and get yourself one of those munchkin milkshakes.
Yeah,
oh
God. I've been consuming incredible amounts of sugar lately. And I used to laugh at people that had dessert. But since I have no other pleasures in my life now, this is something that I can get behind.
Sure. Well, somebody said the big chicken sandwiches that came out from Popeyes were huge and was sold. That's not what I'm talking about. That's just a chicken sandwich. That's not a creation. That's not somebody who made a whole new fast food menu item that changed the game. I remember it was that was the way Blizzards were when they first came out.
I know we've talked about this a lot, but I don't recall. I had a friend who would go to Taco Bell, and he had his own thing that he called the creation, where he... It was like he ordered tortilla chips and then did a bunch of stuff to them. And then he would unveil it in front of you and go, my creation.
It's off-menu creation.
Yes.
Sure.
So, I mean, it was a pain in the ass. But these were the days where, you know, you could sit in a Taco Bell for, you know, a half hour explaining yourself. Or you could be my friend who got a job at a food court Taco Bell. And then I told you guys this before at one point during our careers. And just took all the money out of the register and left and then had no plan. And was arrested and did time in jail.
Oh my God. That's smart.
Like, you filled out a W-2, you did everything, and then you just stole and then left. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us. Zolak and Bertrand are in next. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.